We certainly aren't going to get less buckets. Welcome to episode 4 of the Locked On Clippers podcast. I'm your host, DJ Foster. On today's show, we're going to talk about Mo Spates. How does he fit? Was it a good signing? We'll discuss. We'll also take a few of your questions. It's going to be a short and sweet episode. And finally, we're going to discuss exactly why you should go to Vegas if you want to lose all of your things. It's the Locked On Clippers podcast. Welcome back. It's good to be back. We missed Friday's show. It was a DNP Las Vegas, is what I'm going to call it. That's what it's going to show up in the box score as, DNP Las Vegas. Which reminds me, let's get ahead to a quick headline from elsewhere. Just a quickie. DNP old. Tim Duncan. He has retired. The second greatest power forward of all time. I know you might be saying, whoa, 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 whoa. Tim Duncan, second greatest. And we're going to talk about the first greatest later in the show, Mo Spates. But Tim Duncan has retired officially. No press conference, no farewell tour, no teams giving him gifts, no Kareem, you know, last standing thing, no Kobe Bryant. Tim Duncan is just like, hey, I'm done. You're not going to see me in my flannel shirts and my way too baggy jeans from 1997 anymore. That's it. It's a wrap. And probably one of the greatest careers of all time. He's done. He's done. And probably the thing that I'll take away most from Tim Duncan was just how good he remained. And I think that's really impressive because if you look at how different basketball from 2016 was to 1998, how different the game is played now, it's incredible. I don't think we've seen that much change in a 20-year time span ever in basketball. If you watch games in, say, I don't know, 1978 to 1998, I mean, yeah, they look different. The three-point line is there. The players are more athletic. They're bigger, all that stuff. It's different, okay? It's different. There was a lot of growth during that time period. But 1998 to now, game is played so differently. I mean, the days of dumping it in the post every possession and these games that were, you know, 79 to 77 in the playoffs, and it's just so different than it used to be. And Duncan survived through all of that. Not only survived, thrived and dominated throughout all the changes in the game on both ends of the court. So many big guys we saw become obsolete or struggled in the tail end of their career when they couldn't move anymore. Never happened with Duncan. And I think that's going to be his legacy, is just consistent domination. As soon as he came in the league, he was great. When he left the league after all those years, he was still great. So that's what I'm going to remember most about Duncan. So that's our headline from elsewhere. But let's get to the real news of the weekend. Tim Duncan, Schmim Schmunken. The Clippers signed Mo Spates. Now, when I first heard about this, I didn't have a phone or computer because Las Vegas. I'm not even going to explain that. I'm just going to say my phone and computer that I had that I brought to Las Vegas, I ended up not having them at the end of my Las Vegas trip. So pretty cool on that front. But when I first saw the Spates signing, I thought, huh, interesting. Okay, and started to think about the fit and wonder all that stuff. And my brain almost had to snap back for a second and be like, hey, wait, Clippers don't have money. How did they get Mo Spates? I mean, like, something's weird here. Did they have an exception I didn't know about? Did I not count right? Or what's happening? And then I saw that it was for the veterans minimum. What? Mo Spates? On the veterans minimum? That's insane. What great value for the Clippers. I mean, Jason Smith, not to pick on Jason Smith again, but Jason Smith just signed for 3 years, $14 million. And the Clippers are getting most Spates for the veterans minimum. I mean, that's crazy. Now, I know some people don't love most Spates, and they don't think he can defend, and maybe he can't very well, and they don't think he's actually capable of, like, passing ever, and he's really not. But even with those two things in mind, he's a really good rotation player to have. A guy who can come out, stretch the floor, shoot, get hot, put up points in a hurry, will rebound. Man, there's a lot that he brings to the table. And last season, with the Warriors, he spent the last 3 years in Golden State. Champion Mo Spates. Jeez, I didn't even think about that. NBA champion Mo Spates on the veterans minimum. Last season, though, he shot 38.7% from three. Yeah, it was a small sample size, 62 attempts. But it became a shot that was really in his arsenal. Something that he really started to do more and more as the season went on. Just popping a little further out and hitting that three. And if that's real, at 6'11", 255 pounds, could play either the four or the five, and can really shoot the ball, those guys, you just can't find them for the veterans minimum. But the Clippers managed to do it with Spates. Now, I know there's some downside here. He's not a great defender, especially off the ball. He doesn't pass very well. But I think he has improved in both aspects playing with Golden State. Now, it's easier to look like a good defender when you're playing with other great defenders. But Spates is a good post defender if you challenge him directly. And I think we saw this when he was with Memphis. He'll beat you up, and he'll throw you around, and he'll make you work for your points if you want to post him up. He's weak as a help defender. He doesn't have great instincts. He's not ultra quick, obviously, at his size. But as a bench big man, guy who can come in, he shot 82% or higher from the free throw line the last 3 years, which is of big importance to the Clippers. Just because if teams go to the hack of DeAndre and that doesn't get solved, he can come in and now knock down a free throw. He can add offense. He can be a pick-and-pop partner with Jamal Crawford and Austin Rivers that teams are just simply going to have to respect. And the Clippers didn't have that guy. Cole Aldrich was great for them last year, but he was a completely different player. Now the floor gets spaced out a little bit more. You can put him in with either DeAndre. You can put him in with Blake. He'll work with both guys. I love this signing for the Clippers. I think it's killer value. And just based on his numbers last year, I know this can be a dangerous game to play, but per 36 minutes last year, 22 points, 10 rebounds. On 38.7% shooting from the three-point line, man, I don't know. I don't know how that guy goes for the minimum. The Clippers should be happy he's there, though. I mean, they got the LA discount. Whatever it was, Doc's wife made him some cookies. Whatever it was, man. Good signing, Clippers. Let's get to your questions now. Our first question is from Travis. Travis asks, any chance that Blake Griffin or Chris Paul will extend their contract like James Harden just did before this season starts? Does it benefit them financially to wait until after the season? What I would think would happen here, I think the most likely scenario is that Blake Griffin and Chris Paul will both exercise their early termination options on their contracts next season, next offseason, which would put them in the spot to do the 1+1 thing that's become popular with a lot of the league stars. The Harden extension was shocking for a lot of reasons. I don't think many people saw it coming. Stars have kind of valued their freedom more than their long-term financial security. As of late, we've seen LeBron do the one-year thing. We just saw Kevin Durant do the 1+1 thing. So I would expect Blake and Chris to kind of follow the path of LeBron and Durant, especially if they want to bring in another big free agent next year. The Clippers will have cap space if those two guys come off the books, obviously. If they both exercise their player options, which is all an early termination option can be, only the players can exercise it. They would come into cap space, and then maybe you recruit another star, and then you can all sign deals together and kind of be on both the same length of contract, and you can split up money that way too. Now, I don't think Chris Paul and Blake Griffin have any plans of signing deals for less than the max of what they can get. But you never know. You never know what can happen. So that would be my thought, is that they'll do the early termination options next offseason and then take it short-term deals from there. And I think that becomes especially true when you consider that they still haven't gotten past the second round, and that they may both be seeing, okay, what happens this year? Do we really have a future here? Can we win a championship here? I just don't see right now as being the time for either of them to extend and lock in and commit until they fully see what they're dealing with, what the plan is going forward, who's going to become a free agent, all that sort of thing. So thanks for that question, Travis. That's my view. You never know, though, that Harden extension came from out of left field, so you never know what can happen. Next question comes from Monty. Monty asks, do you think Doc will give any of the young guys minutes this year? And he names Wilcox, Dawson, Johnson, Stone, French point guard. Says, I know he says Johnson is a rotation player, but we all know about Doc and rookies. Doc does kind of have a bad rap with rookies, not wanting to play them big minutes to make them, you know, sort of learn his system until they can get off the pine and start contributing. I think the signing of Spates blocks Johnson a little bit, but not fully. I would be surprised if Johnson ends up out of the rotation. I think he can help in a lot of ways, and as long as he's a high-energy big man with his size and his length and his athletic ability, I think it's going to be tough for Doc to keep him off the floor in short spurts. But as far as the other guys, Dawson, Wilcox, Stone especially, I have a really hard time seeing those guys getting any playing time. So I don't know how much we're going to see of them. Now, you never know. Preseason could come. They could light it up. And maybe Doc looks to them a little bit more and goes deep in his rotation. But I wouldn't count on it. I think you've got it pegged, Monty. I think Johnson is really the only rotation player of the group right now. Good questions. Thank you guys for sending those in. If you want your questions answered on the show, email me at fosterdj3@gmail.com or hit me up on Twitter at FoxSportsFoster. Thanks again for your questions. Let's move on to the winner of the day and the loser of the day. Winner of the day, there are lots of options. Honorable mention goes to my 65-year-old cab driver who was bumping too short at an entirely too loud of a volume. Shout out to him. But the winner is going to be James Johnson, who goes to Miami, gets a one-year, $4 million deal, and now he won't have to get that restraining order that he might have had to get if he was in L.A. You're a full country away, James. You're a full country away. Loser of the day, and it pains me to say this, it really does, Neil Olshey. Former Clippers GM Neil Olshey. Now, I have loved what Neil Olshey has done in Portland. I love what he did when he was the GM of the Clippers. I have not loved this offseason for him. I know the prices have gone up. I know you have to pay more to retain young talent. I just am not ready to live in a world where Evan Turner and Alan Crabb make a combined $35 million a year. I'm sorry, Neil, you've lost me. I'm finally off board with a couple of your moves. At least you got Myers Leonard back for a fairly reasonable deal, 4 years, $41 million. But Evan Turner and Alan Crabb, I like Crabb. I don't like Evan Turner. I like Crabb. You're really going to spend that much money on that wing rotation? I don't know. It's a little lackluster. It's just, it's the curse. It's the curse of the Clippers. Anyone who's worked for them at any point is just going to be chasing small forwards for the rest of their life. Olshey went with Crabb and Turner. I don't love it. I don't love it. All right, that's it. That's it for today's show. Quickie. Good job of the Clippers signing Mo Spates. Should be a nice deal for them. We'll be back tomorrow. Tuesday. Remember, subscribe, like, tweet, Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, Bumble, I don't know, Uber. Do all of those. Thanks for listening to the Locked On Clippers podcast. I'm your host, DJ Foster. We'll see you tomorrow.